Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Child-proofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this. Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. You can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. We got two episodes this week because we got two episodes of The Bachelor. Today, Ben and I will be recapping the Women Tell All episode, which was relatively outrageous. Mm. Ben, before we get to that, how have you been the past week or so?
I've been great. You know, Ashley, I wanted to start this podcast out because of just some messages that I've received, and I'm sure people are wondering. Obviously, the last week has been difficult. You know, it's odd. I don't know if our parents and our grandparents, we'd have to get somebody that's been around a little bit longer than us, but it feels like in the last couple of years, we just continue to get our worlds rocked by news and updates and things happening. And I just got back from a lunch with an organization I joined the board of, Project Hope, and they have a few people over in Poland and Ukraine right now helping set up refugee camps and humanitarian healthcare efforts. And it's a weird thing to sit in that meeting, come back here and talk about the Woman Tell All, especially with how outrageous the Woman Tell All was. And it just makes me say, you know, let's start. It made me want to start this episode by saying, if you are somebody out there that want to support an organization that is boots on the ground, giving great updates, they've been all over MSNBC and CNN and Fox, every big outlet, Project Hope's out there. It's, you know, from today's meeting, I asked, I said, you know, where does this go? You know, they've been a part of disasters and refugee crises all over the world. They said they've never seen anything quite like it, and it's only going to get worse, where people are going to continue to pour into these surrounding countries, and the infrastructure just isn't there. Like, you know, these are small countries. These are like, these are almost the size of the states in the U.S., and millions of people are pouring into them now, needing just the essentials in life. And so it's important for us here at the podcast, I think, to advocate on those refugees' behalf and to say, hey, if you want to help, obviously donations and funding is the most important thing. It's needed. It's necessary. And it's also, I know for a lot of people, the war going on over there right now is just really hard to conceptualize and understand. And that's not your fault. I think most people in the world are trying to understand why this is happening and where it's coming from. So, yeah, on behalf of the Almost Famous podcast, we recognize how difficult this is and know that, you know, ultimately The Bachelor traditionally has been an escape from the things going on in the world. But sometimes, and it feels like more than ever here recently over the last couple of years, the escape just isn't exactly healthy. And we have to still lean in and recognize the stuff going on. So,
yeah, it feels like everything that I complain about in my life is just so silly these days. And I just feel dumb for it. And talking about The Bachelor sometimes can feel silly too. So
yeah, it does. But it is our job, and that is why we're here. But it doesn't mean we have to neglect the things going on in the outside world. So again, if you want to help, Project Hope is out there. The Almost Famous podcast is backing and supporting and trying to keep up with everything going on around the world. And we know that for many people, there's a lot of pain. But we will take this time to recognize that and then move in to what is, as Ashley said, a week where we will be doing two episodes of the Almost Famous podcast, because there's two episodes of The Bachelor. Ashley, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but every year, this is not just this episode, every year, I just don't enjoy the live shows.
Get rid of them.
I don't enjoy them. I don't, you know.
Ben, I thought you were going to say, let's be gentle, like we've been hating, but you're not going there.
Well, I don't think we've been hating now recently. Like, I will say the last few weeks.
Well, last week I really enjoyed.
Well, and I'm into this season. Like, I'm watching Clayton's story unfold. I'm watching the women that he has around and that he's let go. Some of them I'm still invested in their stories, you know, and what that we'll see them on Paradise or not. I think this season overall has had some really slow moments and some really, like, it definitely started out incredibly painfully slow. But it's
well, we
liked
the first episode. I don't know. We've been a little bit like back and forth.
More than
because
most.
There's been some episodes that we've been like, really liked this one, really hated this one, you know. At least we have the ups, right? Mm. But I think after watching this live show, I mean, we have to get rid of them. They're unnecessary. They give us like the double week, you know, where it's not like we're missing out on a week here. We're getting an extra episode. So let's just like forego that extra episode because it's not enjoyable. It took me so long to get through this, Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, partially because I have a kid now and partially because we're moving into this house. So it's like everything, like I press stop. It took me 4 hours to get through this hour and a half episode. partially because like I'm distracted and I have other things that take precedent, but mostly,
yeah.
Well, not mostly, but secondarily, because it's just like I'm not like into this episode.
Sure.
I just haven't been for a while. It's just screaming at each other. It's just noise to me.
It's unhealthy.
And you're bullying the bully.
Yeah. It's unhealthy, Ash. And
you think it's unhealthy?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's.
Why? Because like they're encouraged basically to just be loud and yelling.
It's the Royal Rumble. Go sit in front of a bunch of people. It's your last shining moment on national television. Make a name for yourself. And historically, how people make names for themselves is by going at the villain, going at the easy target. And I get that sometimes that feels appropriate and it feels like that person has warranted everything you're saying to them. But in any other situation in life, Ashley, we don't have this thing happen where we sit in a room and we just bash somebody, even if they've hurt us. There's healthier ways to heal and to move on. Now, I will say this. I didn't want to overstate. I still like After the Final Rose. I actually enjoy seeing the couple together.
Yeah, I think what you mean by that is just the tell-all.
Mm-hmm. The tell-all just never does it for me. It never seems good for me.
It never gets anyone anywhere. All it is regurgitates drama, and then the drama doesn't get solved.
And, I mean, at the same time, if we're invested into this story, there's almost this mark in as we watch the journey unfold. We're watching, you know, women mature. We're watching whoever the bachelor or bachelorette is, we're watching their journey unfold. Now, it feels like we rehashed stuff from months ago. Nope. I don't know. For me, I watched this episode. I was like, it feels unhealthy for me to watch this because here's what I do. Tell me if you do or not, if I'm crazy. Like, we all know, like, Shanae did not, like, make a great impression in this house. We know that she did things that we watch and we're like, that's manipulative. We know that she acted. We know that she fake cried. We know that she led people on. Like, we know all of this now, okay? Huh. And so I watch this and there's this side of me that's like, yeah, get her. Get her. Go at her. Go at her. And then I pull back. I'm like, wait, that's not the human I want to be. But this episode makes me say that and think that. And if I didn't feel that way, then I'm doing what you and I probably did after we kind of like got out of our horror, like, yeah, get the villain mentality. Then we just disconnect from the episode because none of it seems fun to watch. We're just like, this is stupid.
I'll take it a step further. By the way that the girls acted towards Shanae, it makes me a little bit more sympathetic. It makes me actually like oddly sympathetic for her or like has me like liking her more because they're so they're just so ridiculous. I don't know. I just felt like these girls like getting on her the way that they did was like, okay, did she really like affect your life that much? Mm. Did she really like, do you really think about her every night before you go to bed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast before, right? There's been now women from this season who have partied with signs that say F Shanae, like, and I don't know Shanae at all. Like I don't know her personally. I don't know if she's enjoying this attention. I don't know if she hates it. I don't know if it's also maybe like mentally really disrupting how she sees herself. And yes, I will say one of the best parts about the show is you see yourself on camera and maybe you become a better person because of the mistakes that you made on television. That's a great thing to do. But also there's this flip side where like it does. I mean, you had a great run on the show. I had a run. I've always said the show's been really good for me. I've had very little controversy and pain associated with the show outside of like normal life circumstances. And it still, the criticism still hurts me. Like it still puts me in a bad space. Even to this day, I cannot imagine, Ashley. I cannot imagine if I had a whole show dedicated to just shitting on me. Like the whole time. Like that is so terrible to think about how a human must feel. And it's so terrible to think that a human wants to do that to another human.
Yeah. I think that the show, the tell-all, has probably gone downhill since it's become a paradise tryout. Because don't you think that's what it is now?
Well,
it's just like these girls fighting for like the statement that gets a reaction so that they have camera time so that they have a better chance of going to paradise. By the way, I got eye cream in my eye right now, so I'm not crying. I just can't open my eyes.
If I was you, I'd just lean into the crying. You feel so emotionally pulled towards this episode that you're crying.
I just can't open my eyes.
No, and you know, and maybe this is a good topic now to switch into. Do you think, Ashley, that those big comments, this controversy being the loudest at the Women's Hall, do you really think that is, do you think the producers are looking at that being like, this is a good moment for them and now they're going to be on Paradise? Because I feel like the producers are not swayed by who the most outspoken is. And I also don't feel like today, or at least in the last few seasons, since really Chad Johnson, that Paradise has involved somebody only to build up controversy. Now they've had drama like, hey, you slept with somebody outside the show and you slept with that person too. Let's show up at the Paradise and rehash it. But the villain themselves typically come on Paradise to redeem themselves, not to continue to be the villain. Right?
Yeah, right. I don't think it's like so much of a villain thing as it is just like you getting your face on screen.
Oh.
So it's like, I really do feel like from firsthand experience, I just remember back then, that was only the second season of Paradise. But the producers definitely were putting in girls' ears backstage. You say this, you make a splash, there's a better chance of you going to Paradise.
Yeah,
so I do think these girls are fighting for airtime because if they say something splashy, they get on TV, they get on Paradise.
Yeah.
And then people, you know, of course, when they hit Paradise, people forget what they ever said during Women Tell All. I really think it's a matter of just minutes on screen.
Okay. Well, I also want to, you know, my only experience is from my time on the show. I've been a part of two tell-alls. One was during Caitlin Bristow's season, okay? A little controversy amongst the men, not a lot. Like, the house pretty much got along. So who did they go after? Yeah. Who was their villain that they went after was Caitlin. Because the whole slut-shaming with Caitlin was the big conversation. Uh-huh. So some of the men were like, it was unfair. I remember one of the guys, I forget his name at this point, you know, he was spouting off at Caitlin how unfair it was that she did this and she did that. And I was like, you were there 2 days. Like,
right.
Sit
it's
down.
Always those people.
Yeah, sit down. You don't know Caitlin. She doesn't even know your name right now. She had to get it reminded probably before she even walked out. Like, sit down and stop talking. So then I had my Bachelor season. Who the women go after that season? It was Olivia. How ridiculous do people look now that they went after Olivia during the Women Tell All? Like,
right.
So my point to this is, okay, Shanae might be a true villain. She might have been awful to be within the house. I don't know. We saw what we saw. We've experienced what we experienced. But
what are you getting out of it?
That's the point. You don't get anything out of ever hating on somebody, especially publicly. You're going to regret it later. That person's probably going to be hurt by you. You're not bringing any life or joy or kindness to the situation. And I bet 75% of these people that were spouting off at Shanae probably have some little quote on their Instagram that says, like, be kind for everybody, you know, is going through pain. Yeah. It's ridiculous, Ashley. It makes me so upset.
Let's go through a couple of the lines that I really thought were truly ridiculous.
Okay.
One, Genevieve said, is she wearing a diaper when she went up on stage and her panty line was showing? Like, really? And then there was the other girl who said, like, honestly, like, I, from the bottom of my heart, want you to go to fucking hell, or like, want you to stay in random ass Ohio or something like that. It's like, okay, fine. So maybe she didn't say, from the bottom of my heart, I want you to go to hell. She said, from the bottom of my heart, I want
you're searching Ohio with hell?
Come on. Yeah. I don't know. Do we have the actual quote?
Come on, I'm part of the Midwest, Ash.
It was like, oh, here it is. From the bottom of my heart, fuck you, Shanae. Okay? That's how bad it was. From the bottom of my heart, bless your heart. Fuck you. And then it goes, you can rot in Ohio for all I care. That's what she said. That I don't even know. Her name's Lindsay. Like, are you really have this strong of feelings of hatred for this woman? It makes me judge you that you are hating her so much.
It's just, it's kind of the whole thing. It's an interesting study on human behavior too, because maybe, you know, the better option here would have been for one of these women who haven't been around a long time, who we don't really even know the name of, who were probably released within still when they were living at the mansion. What if they just stood up and was like, or like kind? Like, what if they're like, hey, this doesn't feel healthy? Like, what?
Well,
what?
There's some girls who definitely stay quiet, and I respect them for that.
But is that okay? Like, what if somebody there would have been like, you know what? This just feels like it's getting to be unhealthy. Like, what at this point are we proving? Are we? Yeah. And hey, I get it. When somebody when you're yelling at somebody and the mob comes out and that person's screaming back at you and they're defending themselves, you know, still, like, I get that there's like anger built up. I think it just goes back. All of it, this whole episode, at least the part about when all the women were sitting down, it just felt unfun for me to watch. And maybe I'm alone in that. Maybe you and I are on our own little island in that. But I have a feeling that a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast right now would say that didn't feel like a good couple hours of television to them. They didn't feel like it was a positive or even fun escape from the craziness of their worlds. I bet it felt like it brought a heaviness even to the evening that just felt like, hey, I would have been fine just not watching it.
I bet you a lot of people turn it off.
I bet so.
I'll be honest. Ben, if we didn't do this episode, I would have turned it off.
That's a big statement. You would have turned it off. You would have said, I don't need it.
I don't need it because it doesn't perpetuate the storyline. Like, I'm not missing anything from the next episode if I don't watch this episode. I'm going to do a poll on my Instagram tonight during the airing of this, like after the first hour. I want to see if people actually want more tell-alls.
Okay.
Or whether they turned it off. I'm actually going to say, did you turn it off?
Can I steal that idea from you? Because I never know what to do on Instagram. And so it'd be great if I could just steal that because you're always good at it. And I don't know what to
do. I'm giving you content.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, before we take a break here, let's end this with something really positive. Can we?
Okay.
We're going to take a break and we're going to say happy birthday to you, Ashley. This is your birthday
thank
week.
Thank you.
We love you. We celebrate you. We're so thankful for you. And now you're a mom. I bet that feels weird celebrating a birthday as a mother. But just happy birthday, Ash.
Oh, thank you. You know what? It was different celebrating my birthday as a mother.
Why?
I had more gratitude for my mom. And I'm like, wow, birthdays are really more about the mom.
Yeah.
It's like on his birthday, I'm going to be thinking about like what I went through that day. Yeah. And like how special that day was. I think it's like birthdays are like way bigger of a deal for the mom. That's all.
That's incredible. Well, your mom's also awesome. We love your mom. So, you know, she should feel celebrated also. Well, hey, let's take a break. We're going to cut now. We're not going to talk about Shanae anymore. We've gotten it all out. We said we don't like it. We'll poll you to see if you like it. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Clayton's time goes as he confronts the ladies on The Women Tell All.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So like how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending
$499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
As every parent knows, kids seem to be everywhere all at once. It's tough for even the most watchful mom and dads to protect their little ones from every single thing. Duracell understands that. That's why they're deeply committed to lithium coin battery safety. Lithium coin batteries power many important things around people's homes, including things that young children may have access to. So Duracell not only educates parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of lithium coin battery safety, but they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Even Duracell's packaging is child secure and designed to avoid accidental opening. Because they believe that their product should provide more than just power, they should also provide peace of mind. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
All right. So, yeah, let's talk about Clayton and how the women responded to him once he sat down.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird. Mm. Standout moments. The physician from Philadelphia, whose name I don't know, but I just know her title. She said something along the lines of,
like, you really messed up. Like, you like got a lot of shit out here. Like, we really piled it on you and you deserved most of it. Did he really? I don't like, has he really made a lot of bad decisions thus far? I know the women have a big issue with the fact that Elizabeth was eliminated when,
yeah,
and Sinead stuck around. Like, I get it. He has Sinead there too long. But is there anything else up until this point that he really messed up on? I don't think so. Unless she's referring to whatever happens in the next episodes, because we also got that in this episode,
yeah,
which we've never gotten in a tell-all before. We had Teddy and who was the other woman who said something about what actually ends up happening?
Was it Sierra?
Was it Sierra? Yeah. So both of them say, like, I have privileged information. I know what goes on.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, ow. I hope you're doing fine, but, like, ouch, basically. It's like they wanted us to get a teaser.
That's never, like, a good thing for anybody. I mean, you know, I've had some pretty terrible breakups. Not terrible, just, like, really heavy breakups, hard breakups. If any, I mean, I've probably said it to them just because you're angry, but, like, if at any point you're like, hey, ouch, like, I know you make a lot of mistakes. I hope you're doing good, but, ooh, you really suck. That's just not cool. Now, I think I have a theory. Do I think Clayton is a tremendous bachelor? I don't know if we have the stuff to judge that on. I mean, obviously, you know, bachelors are judged by a few things. Longevity, how they cultivate and work through drama and chaos, and if they can kind of cool the situation down a little bit and move on. I don't know if he did a great job of that. I do feel like he kind of walked away from a lot of the drama and kind of let it happen for a long time, and I think that was a mark. I have a feeling after watching this that the women were upset with him because they feel like they never got to know him. Because I think the one thing Clayton did, and I don't know if this is good or bad, is he definitely showed favoritism to the people that he was really into and the people that he wasn't really into. I just don't think he really gave them the time of day. And as a result, they're angry.
That's so weird. So weird you said that.
Okay.
Because when I was talking to Jill from Rhode Island before the season even aired, I was like, how was Clayton, like, overall? She was like, well, it was so obvious if he liked you, and if he didn't like you, like, you got no attention and it was just blatantly obvious.
Yeah. So they didn't probably feel like they had to or could protect him because they're like, I don't even know you. Like, you're just a guy that is sitting in front of me that I maybe had two conversations with, but you never invested into me. You never sat with me. And I can't say it's a bad move, right? It's his journey, and it's not mean of him to not talk to all 25 to 30 women that were there. But I bet some of them are a little hurt by that. Like, you didn't even give me a chance.
Sure. I mean, has he been a fantastic bachelor? No. But has he been
bad?
Like, has he made a ton of mistakes? No. I mean, love to Peter Weber, friend of the show. Love having him as a guest on this show. But he made a lot more mistakes as a bachelor than Clayton has thus far.
Oh, and I mean, Peter, and again, we love Peter, but Peter kept making mistakes even after his time as a bachelor was done. Like, he was making mistakes on the live show. Like,
he admits it, so we can say it here.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't his deal. I don't think Clayton's been a bad bachelor. I think, you know, obviously the what we're going to see tomorrow night is going to be interesting. I don't think it's a good look for him. I don't probably think it goes well for him. I do think it will probably be the defining moment of his season, and so we'll have a different opinion after we see it and say, yeah, he hasn't been like, this was bad, buddy. Just from all the teasers and kind of how the women reacted and saying, oh, I know what happens and that was bad,
his demeanor sitting up there,
yeah, I think he's scared to death.
Yeah,
and I think it looked like to me, and I know that feeling. We've seen that, you know, he sleeps with multiple women. Obviously, I have I told multiple women that I love them. So I don't have a lot of place to judge or criticize. In fact, I have none. But I will say that I know the feeling of sitting up in front of a live audience being like, oh, crap, this only gets worse. Like, this is only going to get worse for me.
Yeah.
But he did look scared to me. I think he is.
He also looks sad.
Yeah.
And Teddy said something like, I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah.
And to me, it almost seems like a spoiler between the comment and his facial expression. He just looks like he doesn't end up with anyone. And I know that's what people have been saying since the very beginning. Yeah. I don't know spoilers. I don't want to know spoilers. But it's almost like it's spoiling itself.
Yeah, I don't have a spoiler this season. I do feel like, you know, I think it's Ryan and Kelly always get the question, or Ellen always gets the question, are you happy? And he, you know, that happens every year. And I feel like he answered it with, yes, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I would have a feeling if he doesn't end up with anybody, he's probably not. I mean, maybe he's happy now, but what's the chances, Ashley, that all three of the last women just walk?
I guess it's pretty high, but I can't possibly think it's gonna just be because he sleeps with multiple women in the fantasy suite. I mean, that happens all the time. I know I always hammer home.
Yeah.
The fantasy suite isn't about sex. So many fantasy suites go on without there being sex, right?
He can't be the first person to sleep with all the women there.
No,
he can't be. Or the first lead, I guess, bachelor or bachelor. Like, he and how many seasons we've had, he cannot be the first to have sex with each person in the fantasy suite. That's just
certainly not.
Now, he might be the first to talk about it, but he's definitely not the first to like have it happen. Like, there's just no shot. Now, I know leads who have not had like any physical intimacy with anybody in the fantasy suite. They've spent that time doing other stuff and they just didn't feel like it was appropriate. Fine. But I know that he can't be the first. He just can't.
He's not. And you know that all the leads, well, not all of them, I don't know. I would assume that the leads who do end up sleeping with multiple people in the fantasy suite end up telling the person that they choose. That did happen with other people, right? Yeah. Sort of, because they're afraid that they're gonna find out one way or the other.
I would think, I mean, yeah, I'm sure some have. It matters the kind of relationship you have and kind of where you're at. I think also, and this used to be a conversation that we would have. So I know like some of the ways to go about it, and I know how some people have gone about it. Like at some point too, it's kind of you know, you're entering into a new relationship. And so, you know, there's always the two kind of paths when you go into a new relationship. Do you talk about your past people, right? Do you talk about who you've been with and who you've cared for? Or do you decide as a couple like, hey, let's just not talk about it, right? This is the relationship we're in now. We're moving forward. The other people that have came before you, like they've had a place in my life, but it's not important for anybody here to know about that. And I mean, I think there's two ways. And so maybe they talk about it, maybe they don't. If I would have given advice to somebody, I'd be like, try not to. Like, it just doesn't feel like it's so soon and so sudden that you're like, yeah, last week, sorry. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it ends well ever. But
is that going to be a breaking point for all three of these women? If it was going to be, you would think that they would say it up front, be like, because that's what happened with Maddie. Remember during Peter season, not to draw so many comparisons, but she basically was like, if you do sleep with other girls, like I'm out of here.
I think that's a fair standard to set. Like if that's what you.
I think so.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, you're getting engaged. But like
you would think that person would also say it up front before.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think that's part of it. I would be shocked. You know, two of the women at this point have told Clayton, we've seen it on camera, like, hey, explore other relationships. Like at the end of this, if you're going to be with me, I want to know that you're with me because like you explored everything and you found out just how much you care for me.
Who said that?
Gabby said that. I believe Susie said that. I think that was, you know, yeah, I think it was Susie and Gabby. I would be shocked if, especially Gabby, just how she phrased it and how confident she was in saying it and just kind of how she's gone about this whole process, if she would be like super upset with him if he came to her and was like, no, I did. I think she would probably be okay. But I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming there. The only reason I would see that all three of these women would leave is because for some reason they've gotten their heart set on like Clayton's their husband. And he, you know, they just have to wait out the time, and he's just kind of waiting out the time. And then all of a sudden he comes in and is like, yeah, but I actually love all three of you, and I've been intimate with you all. And like, that breaks these women's hearts so much that they're like, I saw you as my husband, and now I know as I was seeing you as my husband, you were also sleeping with somebody else. And as a result, I just can't be here for this anymore. I could see that happening. I could. I don't know if it happens. I just could see it.
There's a discrepancy here, though.
Okay.
Because he says, I love, or I fell in love with three people, but he only says, I slept with both of you. So when does the drama actually go down? And is it about sleeping together? Is it about the I love yous? Or is it about something totally different? I think it might be a surprise, and we haven't even seen a tease for the reason that it all goes crumbling down.
Well, I'm in for it, Ashley. We're going to be watching it. I'd say the big takeaway from all of this during the Woman Tell All for Clayton is he did look scared. He did look sad. If I was to read body language, I don't think he thinks these last couple weeks are going to be that fun for him, not only publicly, but also emotionally. And it looked like out of any bachelor I've seen in a long time, it looked like he's like really nervous about the weeks to come.
I feel like really bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, because in general,
you keep calling him boring now.
Well, I mean, people called me boring all the time. People called me, you know, that stuff you can get over, right? You can kind of joke about it, and your friends and family, you know, they still say it to me today. If like, I'm like, you know, I was trying to defend Clayton. I was like, you know, he's not boring. Like he's just a human trying to do this thing. They're like, yeah, if you're boring, that means like you're normal. And I'm like, okay, well, that's nice. Like, that's kind of you to say to me, but it still doesn't feel much better when people are saying it. But you can get over it. It doesn't haunt you forever if people call you boring because you're not the like most entertaining lead of all times. But I do feel like he's gotten a lot of hate. I do feel like he has gotten a tremendous amount. I just don't know how many people are team Clayton.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at social media, his following is so low. Like, he doesn't have the one thing that helps when you're a leader and you're on the show is for as mean as the public are to you, you typically have like people in your corner that are following you on social media or whatever, supporting you. And I look at that, I'm like, he doesn't even have that. Like, I hope he knows that he's not bad. Like he's doing the best he can. Now, he hasn't made all the perfect decisions, but he's doing the best he can. Well, we'll see, Ashley, in the next couple weeks, though, just based on what we know, the teasers and all that. I do think this might get harder for him, and maybe some of the dislike or whatever is warranted at some level. I just don't think it gets easier.
I just feel like he's sitting there thinking, what did I do to myself?
Oh, geez. I just don't know if the Bachelor, I mean, Nick Vial and I have talked about it many times now. I don't know if the Bachelor is a great gig anymore. I just don't know if it leads to great things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's one other thing to talk about the show, I think.
What's that?
Sarah, because we all know that Sarah left because he couldn't like quite trust her, kind of thought that she was putting on an act.
Yeah.
And then she gets up there, says, no, he really did cry during our first one-on-one. And then minutes later, the question is asked to him in the hot seat. It's like, did you cry? And he's like, no, I didn't cry on any of our dates. And she's just caught red-handed, and it's really awkward.
Yeah. Why does she do that? Like,
why did she do that?
It's like filmed. You know, like there's very good proof to all of this. Like, you're not getting away with much. Like, what? Yeah, that's weird. I kind of forgot about that. But yes, that's odd and awkward and just, weird. Mm-hmm. That's a good point to bring up, though. But no, she is caught red-handed, and maybe it was right that he didn't trust her. Maybe he saw through some of this stuff.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that was a real standout moment, though.
Nah, neither can I. But we do have Bachelor headlines, and there are a few of them. So let's take a break here, Ashley. When we come back, we're going to break down Bachelor headlines with Ashley Iaconetti.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So like how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
As every parent knows, kids seem to be everywhere all at once. It's tough for even the most watchful mom and dads to protect their little ones from every single thing. Duracell understands that. That's why they're deeply committed to lithium coin battery safety. Lithium coin batteries power many important things around people's homes, including things that young children may have access to. So Duracell not only educates parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of lithium coin battery safety, but they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Even Duracell's packaging is child secure and designed to avoid accidental opening. Because they believe that their product should provide more than just power, they should also provide peace of mind. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Bachelor headlines, here it is. And here is the headline. I spent $4,000 to be on The Bachelor, and I got sent home the first night. This according to Insider.
So juicy. First off, Ben, how much did you spend before going on The Bachelorette?
Me?
Yeah.
I know exact. I mean, I went and I got 3 suits from Kohl's. I got them tailored at the mall, and I bought a new pair of shoes. So probably $300.
Okay. So I certainly didn't spend $4,000. I did shop a bit, and it probably went over. It was in the thousands. Okay. It was in the thousands. This girl, and I have to say thank you, mom and dad. This girl, because I certainly didn't have thousands of my own to spend at the time. This girl's name is Daria Rose. We wouldn't know her name because she got eliminated night one. She spent about $4,400, she says, on dresses, shoes, makeup, and hair supplies to be on Clayton's season, but she got eliminated night one. Mm. She says, as we all know, that it was recommended for her to pack for at least 6 full weeks. And she needed to get her hair done. She wanted to be totally TV ready. She spent $400 in makeup and, you know, a whole bunch on dazzling gowns. But she says that she plans on repurposing and donating some of those. So that's really nice. I feel really bad for her. It's true. I mean, it's hard to navigate the packing list when you're like, okay, I could get eliminated night one and waste all this money on fashion and beauty stuff. But what if I'm there for so long and like this is national TV and I want to look my best and I want to like make a statement and I want people to talk about how much they like my outfits and stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I mean, yeah.
They tell you to pack everything and a lot of the things you just don't have. Like, I just didn't have, like, cute winter clothes.
Yeah.
And they tell you you have to pack for all seasons and all occasions in all seasons.
And you have
that
to do it
racks
in,
up.
And you have to do it in 2 bags.
Yeah, 2 bags.
2 bags. I ran out of clothes when we were still in the mansion, and I remember there was some date. I wore Shambu shoes because I didn't have black shoes with me. I only brought brown. And I'm a size 13. I don't know what he is, like maybe 11. And so I still remember I went on this whole date in size 11 shoes and my toes were all like crinkled up.
Oh.
I probably ruined them. They're probably something super nice. But I had some friends over to my house the night before I left and we packed my bags and we just kind of pulled stuff out of my closet, and I was a big fan of Henleys, and so I wore a lot of Henleys.
Henleys are the best. Yeah. Every guy looks their best in Henleys.
Yeah, it was it, it, I feel bad. That's $4,000 is a lot of money.
I feel bad. She should have kept the tags on some of them and returned a lot.
Yes, that would have been smart. Well, next headline is this. Clayton reveals his top picks for Paradise. Plus, who would he set them up with? This is according to Bachelor Nation.
Yeah. So this is fun. Okay. But he doesn't really set them up with anyone.
No.
He doesn't give us any names. So he just wants them to be with somebody very good. Wants to be with him.
Good for
him.
High
quality man.
Yeah.
So basically he says that he thinks very highly of Serene and Teddy. He says, I think they're going to be incredibly sought after as they go there. He's kind of assuming that they'll be in Paradise. He said, those two are going to have their hands full. I think they're both incredible women. They're going to be in over their heads, but in the best possible way, because they're going to have a lot of guys that are going to be interested in talking to them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, they're going to be...
But he doesn't set them up. I mean, come on. Give us more than that, Clayton.
Yeah.
Like, tell us names.
I mean, if this was your article, Ashley, you would have asked him to follow that up. You'd have said, hey.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, you would have gone at that guy. well, final headline for this week is when we got to celebrate. Bachelor's Liz Sandov gives birth, welcomes second baby with husband Vito Presta. This is according to Us Weekly.
If you need a little refresher, this is Liz, Jade's friend from Nick's season, the one who hooked up with Nick at Jade and Tanner's wedding. She, you know, made a whole bunch of splash over that. And she just had her second. Man, it feels like she just had her first. That's crazy. But congratulations, guys.
Are you on that same time? Are you on that same timetable, Ashley? Are you going to be one after the other?
Part of me wants to just get it over with.
Ooh.
Because it's, you know, pregnancy is awful for me. But the other part of me wants to be normal and feeling like myself for as long as I can. So I'm very torn.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, Ashley, what an incredible podcast today. We're going to be back tomorrow with a really interesting breakdown. I'm going to tune in. I've watched like maybe the first 20 minutes of the Fantasy Suite
episode.
Uh-huh. But I know... It gets pretty intense based on the teasers that we got. And so I think there's going to be a big conversation that you and I have on this podcast about tomorrow night's episode. So I'm excited for it. So please come back and listen and join us for the second episode this week of the Almost Famous podcast. But for today, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Child-proofing people's homes is hard. But Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.